special orders of business. Sergeant Chris Burke. Where is Sergeant Burke?
Front center, you are.
Come on up.
And will Chief Johnson come up too, please? Understand some congratulations. Sorry, thanks for having me here. Chief Johnson?
So Sergeant Burke has been a JP sergeant. I believe he started his career actually in Sitka, and we don't hold that against him. There's a lot of great police officers starting in Sitka. He's living the dream that we've all dreamed of, that our young police officers getting to retirement. So I'll just say a couple things about Sergeant Chris Burke. Number one, he is one of the very few officers I've ever known personally in my life who have been awarded the Police Medal of Valor and a Police Purple Heart. So when we talk about officers that actually leave their blood, sweat, and tears for their community, this is one that has done that for you. And this community is better off because he was a police officer here. So we're very sad to see him go, but very excited to see his next experience. And we did a wonderful little retirement ceremony at JPD. He's got this cool-looking shadow box that Patty put together, and it was awesome. And then we had one other thing we were supposed to do, and we went to present him his firearm, which is traditional, and we didn't have it. So we will try to rectify that today. So one of Sergeant Burke's friends, Jimmy Quinto, actually purchased this for him, and this is his duty pistol he has carried during his career.
Thank you for his service.
Thank you.
Next, we have Carl Yucatel. So, Carl really didn't want to be here tonight. I think you said you'd rather have teeth pulled, but we couldn't do that. But we did want to recognize you, Carl, for your exceptional performance with the Navy ship USS OK. I was contacted by the Navy League and said, we have a ship coming your way. What can you do? And it's like, and then Carl stepped in and organized everything from A to C, and that was amazing. I even said, you know, when they went to Homer, they had flags on the beach, and that really looked cool. And so when the O'Kane came in, there were flags around the harbor. And that was, every touch was taken, Carl. Mr. Yucatel's extraordinary efforts and unique insight to maritime military service led to a highly successful visit for both sailors aboard the ship and the greater community of Juneau. Sailors enjoyed several days of Juneau's best morale, welfare, and recreational opportunities. And you did bring the sunshine a couple days, right? And the citizens of Juneau benefited from the unique interaction with sailors actively serving our country. The port visit was a major boost to our local economy, and it's been many years since a similar visit of this type happened in our port. The port director has indicated that the best way we can attract future visits is by having just the successful visit we just had. I feel the port director himself is primarily responsible for the strong potential for future visits. Congratulations, Mr. Yucatel, and thank you for your hard work on behalf of the Assembly to ensure a successful port visit for the USS OK. And I know they had a great time. Thank you for all your organizational skills. And I have a proclamation, and all right, we have someone I can read this to, right? And your name is?
Brandon Demery.
Brandon, whereas Juneau Pride is sponsored each year by Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance and the parents, families, and friends of lesbian and gays, Juneau, two organizations that provide social and support services to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in Juneau and Southeast Alaska. And whereas Juneau Pride 2017 is a celebration of the diversity of Juneau and of the LGBT community's valued contribution to our city, state, national, world, and, you know, and I'm doing this thinking, where are my glasses? But we're doing fine. We're doing fine so far. We're okay. If you're wondering why I'm, you know, kind of pausing or what's wrong.
I'm enraptured there.
Oh, there we go. All right. Whereas Juneau Pride 2017 commemorates the 1969 Stonewall Riots, considered by many to be the catalyst for the LGBT movement for civil rights in the United States. And whereas June 26, 2015 marked a monumental milestone in the quest for equal treatment of LGBT individuals, with a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court affording same-sex couples the same rights and benefits of heterosexual couples. And whereas on August 23, 2016, the Juneau Assembly voted in favor of a city ordinance prohibiting discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodation based on sexual orientation or gender identification, along with race, color, age, religion, sex, familial status, disability, or national origin. And whereas Juneau Pride 2017 promotes dignity, equality, and self-affirmation for LGBT Alaskans, thus supporting all Alaskan residents' efforts to participate fully in the social and economic life of our city. And whereas Juneau Pride 2017 will share its celebration by inviting the entire Juneau community to participate in a week of cultural events beginning Saturday, June 10th. And what are those events?
Well, on the 10th, we have our pub crawl. Saturday night kickoff. But our 31st annual picnic will be held at Sandy Beach, shelter number 2, on the 11th, 11 to 4, and all are invited.
11th of June.
Now, therefore, I, Kendall D. Kelch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim June 2017 as Juneau Pride 2017, and encourage the Juneau community to join in celebrating Alaska diversity.
Thank you very
much. That brings us on our agenda to approval of the minutes. Ms. Becker.
I turned in 4 very, very slight non-substantive comments to our clerk.
So would you like to move acceptance of those?
Okay, thank you. I move we accept the minutes as corrected.
For May 15th?
For May 15th.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there any objection? Ms. Becker, May 19th.
Perfect in every way. I move we accept May 19th minutes.
Is there any objection? The minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes?
No changes, thank you.
Public participation on non-agenda items. I have 10 people signed up on this list. Madam Clerk, if you want to see if we have some others. Okay, that would mean that we have 15 people signed up on non-agenda items, and one person, Ms. Sell, signed up on an ordinance. So we, at this stage, do the non-agenda items. 15 people will try 2 minutes apiece on each of those and extend our 20-minute public participation time to approximately 30 minutes. So if you can make it shorter than 2 minutes, that will speed up the process. But let us begin with 2 minutes, and let us begin with Patrick Owen, please. When you come up, will you please state your name and your address for us, please?
My name is Patrick Owen. I reside at 415 Willoughby Avenue, apartment 303, Juneau, Alaska.
Okay, and Patrick, what would you like to...
And I'd like to discuss jobs tonight.
Okay. But go for it.
You know, we have three big jobs that we could do in this town. The first one is to get over the EIS report from Kazine Flats to Skagway. And that, you know, we get that in there, then there's no problem. Somebody can't stop the job for any reason after we get the EIS report in there. And the second job is a Juneau mine here in town. We need that mine real bad. And I think a lot of the homeless people and everything, some of them could get back to work doing some of that, because there'd be labor jobs in that. And the third one is I'd like to see that second crossing, either out there by the Pioneer Home or out there by Mr. Triplett's place there across from Schweitzer Valley there and across the highway. That could be the other possible crossing right there. But we need that crossing. If somebody's got a home way out there and it catches fire, by the time the Douglas Fire Department or Juneau Fire Department got out there, it could be totaled. Where if you had the Valley Department could come in there and get it in there much faster and solve that from happening. And I've spoke on this before, and afterwards Don Abel come up behind me and spoke the same thing. And we really need that second crossing. And that would put some good jobs back into this community. And, you know, I worked for the state in the construction field. And we built the courthouse, and we built the state office building.
Okay, Mr. Owen, can you sum up for us? I'm sorry.
Okay. And these are jobs that should be jobs that could be started again on these that road and that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Owens.
Okay. Thank you very much for giving me the chance to speak on it.
You bet.
Thank you.
William Quayle. And John Pugh will be following William Quayle.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305, two doors down from him. In Mass last week, not this past, I was saying to myself, it is wrong to be asking so much money that it keeps a person out of business. And the $15 to $100, I know I keep on harping on it, but still, I'm saving the money yet. But still, I'm out of business. And it would be really nice if they're equal to what Sitka charges. It's $400 one time. And also be able to work at night. I don't think the police department really cares about, they didn't show any care working at night with a pedicab, and especially mine. It's more safer for me to ride my pedicab at night than ride my regular bike. And also work outside the area. One of the things I thought of, and be that I do ride bikes all the time, is that police, 25% of the time, I don't care where it is, the bottom line, they spend 25% less in gas. Now, the way they can do that is, it might have to be more areas than others, ride bikes. And a lot of times you'll be getting more crimes found out by riding bikes than actually going around in cruisers. And I would seriously think that it would be an intricate part of the city's strategy for fighting crime is to have a constant force that's on bikes. I mean, year-round. That means they get their.
Mr. Quayle, if you could summarize, we're trying to get everybody's comments in tonight.
That's the way it should, as it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Pugh, followed by Colleen Brody.
I'm John Pugh, retired chancellor from the University of Alaska Southeast, and live at 1011 D Street. Good evening. I'm here to represent a group of people in Juneau that believe that giving 0 to 5-year-old children the opportunity for a best start in life is not only beneficial to them, but to their families and to this community. Overwhelming research has showed that children are hardwired in brain development for lifetime success or failure by the age of 5. In addition, research studies show that every dollar spent on child care and preschool returns up to $12 in additional revenue from taxes and avoided expenditures for services. Last year, the CBJ Assembly adopted the Juneau Economic Plan. One of the major initiatives is to attract and prepare the next generation workforce. Plan indicates this initiative is critical for attracting millennials and retaining existing young people in Juneau. One of the objectives under this initiative indicates that the community must increase availability of child care year-round with an emphasis on kindergarten readiness. The main metric which demonstrates success is a significant increase in child care slots for children under 6 in Juneau. McDowell has recently done a survey showing that there's 150 families that do not have the availability of daycare, and there are another 550 who are avoiding going to either full-time or increasing from part-time to full-time work and so on because of the lack of daycare. Best Start Steering Committee, as well as over 800 people who have signed our petition, believe that this is an important issue, needs to be addressed by the citizens of Juneau and particularly by this assembly. We've prepared some materials which are there for you. We're presenting at the Finance Committee next week, and we hope to really get in a conversation about how we can possibly do this in Juneau. And we feel like it's an economic imperative to do this. It's not just that we want one more service. It's something that really does drive the economy of Juneau to have a strong child care system, and it is broken at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh. Thank you. Okay, if I could ask you now to applaud or jeer or boo or hiss or anything. So we want to keep moving. Colleen Brody, followed by Bell Lady.
Hi, my name is Colleen Brody. I live at 8292 Garnett Street, Juneau, Alaska. I'm also here to speak about Best Starts. I'm the assistant director of Gold Creek Child Development Center and a new mother to a 3-month-old. So Gold Creek is a private nonprofit child care center. We're located in the federal building. And since I began working there as an administrator almost 4 years ago, I've seen firsthand the need for child care options in Juneau. Even if a non-federal family gets on our wait list as soon as they find out they're expecting, in reality, we will probably not have care for them. We have called families on our wait list before and offered them a spot, and they have moved from Juneau because they could not find child care when it was time for them to go back to work. As a mother, I feel extremely fortunate that I have care for my daughter that's high quality with teachers who I trust, and I couldn't imagine going to work without that reassurance. From a business standpoint, operating a child care center in Juneau is not profitable. In exchange for giving federal priority, we do not have to pay rent, utilities, or maintenance. But it's still hard for us to break even, and in the past 2 years, we've operated at a deficit. Almost 80% of our budget is dedicated to staff salaries, and we still struggle to pay a wage that is competitive and livable. Funding for Best Starts would help us provide our teachers with the pay and training that they deserve, and it would make the field of early childhood a more desirable career choice, increasing the availability of child care in Juneau. So thank you all for your time, for hearing what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your efficiency.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Ready?
Yep.
Bill Leedy, 227 Gastineau. A few days ago, Mr. Trump attempted to remove the U.S. from anything to do with the COP21 Paris Agreement. That may turn out to be a good thing because it provoked 10 states and so far 211 communities in the USA to strengthen their commitment to accomplishing what the COP21 Paris Agreement was going to accomplish. Governor Inslee of Washington said he's proud to stand with other governors to make sure that inaction in D.C. is met by equal force of action from the states. And the 211 mayors essentially said the same thing. As of this morning, Juneau was not among them, but I'm here to ask Mayor Kelch to be sure to join this august group of people called the Mayor's National Climate Action Agenda. Now, if that takes assembly action, I'm here to ask the assembly to ask the mayor to please join this group. Now, fortunately, Juneau has in place a Juneau Climate Action Implementation Plan. We have a draft energy plan. It may be approved at the COS level as soon as next Wednesday. We have two citizens groups, Renewable Juneau, 350.org, and even others, who are interested in our responsibility and our stewardship in the whole matter of climate change, ocean acidification, sea level rise. And so certainly the mayor wants to help us by joining this group. Now, having done that, we'll then have to face that the mining industry is extremely energy intensive, especially low-grade ore like we're contemplating for the AJ mine, and we certainly don't want to squander our limited hydro resource on low-grade ore gold mining, and therefore we will need to immediately thank the entrepreneurial gentleman who brought to our attention the opportunity to cancel the mining ordinance, essentially cancel it, and terminate all further assembly indication contemplation of that. So I'm here to ask the mayor to join this august group of 211 and growing cities. Thank you.
Thank you. Tammy Wilson and Kathy Tilton.
Hi, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Tammy Wilson. In January, lived at 571 Conoro North Pole. I hope I still do. Although I am a state legislator for District 3, I'm here on my own behalf. We go walking every day, and last couple days when we were walking down by the pier, we walked into a couple situations where it got really close to a large gentleman who ran across an area and got right into a woman's face. I was really surprised it didn't become violent for whatever reason. He just yelled at her, walked away. We made sure everything was okay just to turn the corner and see the same action done by someone else. The concern is that there's a lot of people down there, people who live in Juneau, those who come off of the cruise ships, and we really would hate to see somebody get hurt who's already down there or walk into a situation. So we came in and we said something. We kind of passed the building. We're like, oh, that's where the Juneau Borough and City is. So let's see if there's what we can do. I don't know what's changed in the last few days, but there's been an amazing change. So whatever you're doing, it's awesome. You walk down by the pier now, and it's just a completely different atmosphere. We haven't walked into any kind of encounter, but we really want just to, you know, bring up the concern that when you have a lot of people in one area, I'm sure it's not the intent of Juneau to ever have anything happen to your resident or to those who visit here, but it just seemed like the climate was getting that way more and more. But now, there has been amazing change, so I want to say thank you, and I want to leave something for my counterpart to say.
So my name is Kathy Tilton, and I'm from Wesel, Alaska, temporarily at 127 North Franklin. I've been coming to Juneau for the last 8 years, and this is only for the last 2 years have I even had a car. So I've appreciated the environment here that you've been able to walk around downtown and walk pretty much anywhere, because where I live, we're pretty spread out. You don't walk anywhere, quite honestly. What happened with what Tammy had just mentioned earlier with the situations that we encountered, I noticed that there was definitely a change in this last year from the years previous when I've been coming, because I walk late at night after working up at the Capitol, and had done that pretty freely and not worried about it. But this year I did notice a change when we came to Juneau, and as Tammy says, we were taking our walk every day. We noticed and encountered a lot of situations, and it wasn't so much even for ourselves. I'm not so much afraid for my safety, but the tour ships are coming in, and there were some tourists that even coming in from my part of the community, and just for the better will of Juneau, we felt like it was important to come and talk to you about that. And we did notice that in the last couple of days that there has been a definite change. So whatever it is that you're doing, we appreciate that. I know there's budgetary considerations in all of our communities. We have the same thing going on in my community where I'm at, but I think our biggest reason for coming tonight was just to say thank you, because you don't hear that often enough. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Luann McVeigh, followed by Dick Barnell.
Good evening. Thank you for hearing me. I'm Luann McVeigh, 1507 2nd Street, Douglas, Alaska. And I'm here to talk to you a little bit about the mining ordinance. I participated in the review of the AJ Mine draft environmental impact statement back in the 90s. And that process convinced me that Juneau's unique location demands industrial protections not necessarily needed elsewhere, because Gold Creek, the source of our city's drinking water, runs right through Last Chance Basin. And that stream receives runoff from the surrounding mountains and from the tunnel that continues to drain what's left of the AJ Mine. When a fish kill was discovered at the mouth of Gold Creek in the early 90s, Juneau residents realized the threat that was posed by allowing a mining exploration of the ore body adjacent to the stream feeding the city's drinking water wells. And for that reason, we need our own mining ordinance. It should be stricter and more comprehensive than what's found in state and federal requirements. We need to keep what we've got. I value our clean water in Gold Creek and in Gastineau Channel, and I'm aware that in Gastineau Channel there have been recent analyses that have indicated high heavy metal concentrations, which concerns me because I'm aware that there's a high incidence of certain neurological diseases in Juneau, and I believe that that may be partly to blame, is the high heavy metal concentrations in our sediments in the channel and elsewhere as a result of mining. It's a unique environment we live in here in Juneau, and we deserve the kinds of protections that our own unique mining ordinance provides. Please make sure that the 30 people who were involved in a unanimous decision in pulling that ordinance together have their voices heard at this point. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Dick Barnell, followed by Lori Spangler.
My name is Dick Farnell. I live at 800 F Street. I'm here to talk to the Assembly about the Juneau Mining Ordinance. I want to provide the Assembly with some sunlight on some of the alternative facts that are being promoted by the Gang of Five that are talking to you and to other groups around town. Alternative fact number one, Salmon Creek water treatment plant is capable of as configured today, is capable of providing water for the entire city. Incorrect. We received information from city manager to the effect that that is not true. Alternative fact number two, we have a duplicative permitting process. Incorrect. The mining applicant does not have to submit any information that has already been submitted for another permit. Alternative fact number three, City Planning Commission could deny the conditional use permit even if all conditions were met. Incorrect. That's what the conditional use means, is if you meet the conditions, you get the permit. Alternative fact number four, city employees are incapable of reviewing mining applications. Per Frank Bergstrom to the Chamber of Commerce, CBJ is not qualified or prepared to oversee a permitting process. Well, that's why the city got required Echo Bay several years ago to hire a mining engineer and an attorney independently to work with the city to provide that kind of expertise. But it's okay for Frank to be hired by Echo Bay and not the city. I couldn't follow the logic on that one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Larry Spangler.
Hi. Hello. I'll try that again. My name is Larry Spangler. My address is 4545 Thane Road. I'm speaking today on my own behalf. I would like to address the proposed changes to the mining ordinance that I understand you'll be discussing in next week's Committee of the Whole. I urge that the Assembly not even consider putting aside the work done years ago on this mining ordinance. That work was done by a large number of well-respected people with many differing perspectives on mining. That work resulted in a well-crafted compromise approach to the unusual situation of a mine that could reopen immediately adjacent to the downtown of a city like Juneau. As that work created an ordinance which would provide for such things as a level of public process appropriate to such a venture in the heart of our community, an investigation into all the impacts such a mine could have, including both positive and negative socioeconomic impacts, and the financial security that the city would not be left with untoward results to deal with when such a mine eventually closes. Instead of gutting the ordinance as proposed, I encourage you to use the tools the existing ordinance provides to evaluate any proposals for new mining adventures that come forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Botello, do you want to wait until this is part of the agenda? Not here. Okay. Bob Schroeder, followed by Carla Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. I hope I didn't use up most of my 2 minutes walking down here, so perhaps it starts right now. I also would like to encourage the Assembly not to tamper with our mining ordinance that we have on the books right now. I also was involved in the formulation of that ordinance, which in my 30 years in Juneau was at the culmination of the most socially divisive issue that I've known this community to have. As such, the mining ordinance was a compromise. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten the community support that it did get. Many people would like much stronger environmental protections and much stronger social protections. So very briefly, I'd urge the council to stick with what we have on the books and not consider reopening it, unless, of course, you want to put in place much stronger protections for our community's environment and society. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla Hart, followed by Deb Craig.
Thank you. My name is Carla Hart. I'm at 4950 Wren Drive, and I'm here speaking about the mining ordinance as well. I, along with many others in the room, were involved in this for hundreds of hours of mining reviews over the decade or so that it was a hot topic in Juneau. I urge you not to reopen this. As has been mentioned, it was incredibly divisive and took up a lot of energy, and I think that we have many other issues in Juneau that need your attention. And if this is brought up, it will not go quietly, and we will be asking for more environmental protections, knowing more about what we do on the mining industry now. So please just let this rest and keep what was agreed unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hart. Deb Craig, followed by Bryn Leishardy.
Hi, my name is Deb Craig. I live at 3251 Knoll Avenue. The AJ Mine proponents are requesting changes to the CBJ mining ordinance to make it easier to open a mine literally in Juneau's backyard. The reopening of the mine has a long, divisive, polarizing history in Juneau. During previous efforts, our community has reviewed ad nauseum the mining ordinance, relevant state and federal mining and clean water laws and regulations, data regarding community impacts, and the benefits and liabilities of a large-scale urban mine at the heart of this request. The mining ordinance preamble currently states, it's the purpose, quote, it's the purpose of this article to foster the development of a safe, healthy, and environmentally sound mining industry while protecting the overall interests of the public health, safety, and general welfare, unquote. AJ Mine proponents want to replace the language with, the purpose of this article are to encourage mining and investment in mining, unquote. The ordinance preamble is key to understanding the motivation of the ordinance. Current language upholds the safety and health of the community as primary. Proponents would subvert these concerns with the overriding desire to encourage mining and investment. Since the CBJ has substantial ownership in this resource, and CBJ citizens are thus co-owners, it's incumbent upon city staff and the Assembly to remember that you are transitory government representatives, and your primary role is to ensure public health and safety. Flint, Michigan is a glaring example of what happens when city officials fail to uphold their prime directive as public servants to ensure public safety. The current ordinance helps us to protect Juneau's interests, even if existing state and federal government requirements change. It ensures maximum capacity for protection of citizens and the environment, as well as evaluation and control of social and economic impacts. If the AJ Mine is truly a viable project that the majority of the community wants, it will withstand rigorous review, oversight, and inspection under the current carefully and agreed upon formulated ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Craig.
Thank you.
My name is Bryn Flaherty. I live at 326 4th Street here in Juneau, and I am here to speak about the mining ordinance as well and ask that you keep what is a well-reasoned ordinance that you already have spent a number of years trying to figure out and put in place. One of my primary concerns, in addition to the environmental impacts of mining here in Juneau, would be the socioeconomic. What we see time and time again with mines is that we have promises around increasing local jobs. What we actually see is that a majority of these jobs are brought in from other places, which simply raise the cost of living in the city where they're brought into. And as a resident of downtown, I already struggle to find housing that is adequate for my income, and I would hate to see myself and others in my situation who are trying to start a life here in Juneau struggling to find a place to live. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes public testimony for this portion of the agenda. There is another, area where we have assembly after assembly comments and questions, where we have a continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. So that will bring us back to the consent agenda. Mr. Nan Curvis. Oh, we got to go through public requests for consent agenda changes. Sorry.
Items or ordinances for introduction.
Right. So assembly request for consent agenda changes. Seeing that, I think it's time, Mr. Nankovitz. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, motion has carried. Brings us to public hearing. Resolution 2791D, Madam Clerk.
This is the resolution adopting the City and Borough Capital Improvement Program for fiscal years 2018 through 2023 and establishing the capital improvement project priorities for the fiscal year 2018.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution would adopt the City and Borough Capital Improvement Program for fiscal years 2018 through 2023 and establish the capital improvement project priorities for fiscal year 2018. The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed the CIP at its meeting on February 27th and forwarded the plan to the Assembly. The CIP resolution was introduced at the Assembly meeting on April 5th and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee, where it was reviewed during the meetings of April 12th, April 19th, and May 3rd. It was open for public comment as required by charter during the special assembly meeting of April 26, 2017. The Finance Committee approved Resolution 2791D as amended and referred it to the full assembly for adoption. I recommend you adopt this resolution as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee.
I have no one signed up for public comment. Mr. Barr, is there anybody back there that has signed up for public comment on 2791D? All right. That brings us back to the Assembly for Action. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Resolution 2791D and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, motion carried. Ordinance 2017-05B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes for calendar year 2017 based upon the proposed budget for fiscal year 2018.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance establishes the mill rates for property taxes for 2017, which fund a significant portion of the City and Borough of Juneau's fiscal year 18 operating budget. The charter requires the Assembly to adopt, by ordinance, the tax levies necessary to fund the budget before June 15th. Mill levies presented in this ordinance support the City and Borough's fiscal year 18 revised budget as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee. An opportunity for public comment was provided at a special assembly meeting on April 26, 2017. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed the mill rate ordinance at its meetings on April 26 and May 10, 2017, approving a motion to amend the proposed mill rates and refer the amended ordinance to the full assembly for adoption. For fiscal year 18, the total mill levy recommended by the Finance Committee of 10.66 remains unchanged from fiscal year 17. The debt service mill rate is being reduced by 0.1 mills to 1.3 mills. The operating mill rate is recommended to be 9.36 mills, an increase of 0.1 mills from fiscal year 17. The 0.1 mill increase is in the area-wide component of the operating mill rate. The 0.1 mill change between debt service and area-wide operating rate changes rate results in no change to the overall property tax paid by any property owner. The other two components, roaded service and fire service, remain unchanged. This ordinance proposes a total mill levy of 10.66, the components of which are roaded service 2.3 mills, fire service area 0.36 mills, area wide 6.7 mills, for an operating total of 9.36 mills, debt service 1.3 mills, for a grand total of 10.66 mills. I recommend you adopt this ordinance, which was amended by the Assembly Finance Committee.
I have no one signed up for public comment. Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2017-05B and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, the motion is carried. Ordinance 2017-06B, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY18 city and borough operations.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance appropriates $335,130,700 for the City and Borough of Juneau's fiscal year 18 operating budget, excluding the school district. It is necessary to appropriate all transfers between funds that support operations, debt service, and capital projects, as well as the associated expenditures within the funds themselves. These transfers account for $93,728,500 of the fiscal year 18 operating budget. The original ordinance was introduced at the April 5, 2017 special assembly meeting and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee for deliberation. The Finance Committee held six meetings on the budget. An opportunity for public comment was provided at a special assembly meeting on April 26th. and the Assembly Finance Committee moved the amended budget ordinance back to the full Assembly at its May 10, 2017 meeting. CBJ charter requires adoption by June 15th of this year. I recommend you adopt this ordinance, which has been amended by the Assembly Finance Committee.
All right, I do have Stephanie Sell. Sign up for comment, please. You please state your name and address when you come up, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Stephanie Sell, and I work for Fish and Game, so I'll give that address. It's 802 3rd Street, Douglas Island. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. Like I said, my name is Stephanie Sell, and I'm the Area Management Biologist for Fish and Game, Division of Wildlife Conservation in Juneau, Alaska. I'm here to speak and strongly encourage the support of the funding of the 5th Community Service Officer position with the Juneau Police Department. I realize that the city faces a lot of budgeting decisions that are very difficult, but I'm concerned that the remaining four CSOs, as I'll call them, will struggle to maintain the level of service they currently provide, particularly their role in education and enforcement of the CBJ bear nuisance attractants laws, which I have been informed will be cut to compensate for the loss of the staff. Because the CBJ trash ordinance is enforced by JPD and the Division of Wildlife Conservation has authority to manage bears, we maintain a close working relationship with our community service officers, some of whom are in the audience today. Although human-bear conflicts persist and education and enforcement work by the CSOs is tremendously valuable at limiting these conflicts, improving public safety and sanitation, and reducing the number of bears that Fish and Game must capture or euthanize. For example, residents frequently call our office to report violations of the city trash ordinance or other bear attractants in our neighborhoods. Our department lacks those enforcement authorities, so I can basically call or text them and officially pass those messages on so they can address the situation before it becomes a larger problem. I don't know if you're aware, but the Juneau does have an active bear committee. It's made up of different agencies with Fish and Game, Forest Service, JPD, Alaska Wildlife Alliance, Pacific Waste, and members of the public. The committee generally meets twice a year with the goal of reducing human-bear conflicts by keeping attractants contained so bears do not become nuisances or public safety concerns. We have identified areas that we call bear hotspots, basically some select areas in the valley and Lemon Creek, and that's based on the number of calls we get reporting both attractants problems or areas we frequently visit to address nuisance bears. Each spring, the CSOs and our management staff work collaboratively by walking door-to-door to those hotspots and educating the public about these problems.
Okay, if you could summarize for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just fear the loss of this position will have a significant impact on the community. We've worked proactively and collaboratively with our CSOs to ensure that we can address these attractants issues and prevent bear problems from occurring. And I just see that I would like to strongly encourage you to reconsider funding for this 5th CSO position. And thank you for this opportunity to consider this request.
Thank you. Are there any clarification questions from the Assembly? Thank you, Ms.
No problem.
That brings us back to the Assembly. Ms. White?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to recommend that this city adopt Ordinance 2017-06B and ask for unanimous consent with one caveat that I think we should in the future possibly discuss a supplemental to fill the CSO position. After meeting with the police chief, I think that's something we should do, but we don't really have time before our next assembly meeting since we have to adopt this by June 15th. But I think we should at least discuss that in the future. So, anyway.
Is there any further discussion? Ms. White did ask for unanimous consent. Is there any objection? Motion carried. Ordinance 2017-01, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the building code regulations. Building regulations code.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would update CBJ Title 19, the building code, based on the 2012 model codes adopted by the CBJ as modified by the Building Code Advisory Committee. The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this ordinance at its April 10th and May 1st regular meetings. The Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended approval at its May 1st regular meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone signed up for public comment? Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance
2017-01 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Motion carried. Ordinance 2016-09-A-Q-A-O.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $43,900 as supplemental funding for the Juneau International Airport for the fiscal year 2017 operating budget, funding provided from the Juneau International Airport fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate an additional $43,900 to the fiscal year 17 airport operating budget, increasing the airport spending authority by that same amount. Funds would be provided by the airport funds fund balance. The airport board approved the supplemental funding authority and airport fund balance to cover the additional expense at its March 14, 2017 meeting. The Assembly Finance Committee referred this request for approval to the full Assembly at its meeting on April 19th. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
I have no one signed up for public comment. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AO and would ask unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, the motion has carried. Ordinance 2016-09-AP. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $180,000 as supplemental funding for the Parks and Recreation Program for the fiscal year 2017 operating budget, funding provided from the general fund's fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate an additional $180,000 to the fiscal year 17 Parks and Recreation operating budget. Funds would be provided by the general fund's fund balance. Although Parks and Recreation's fiscal year 17 general operations expenditures are within the approved budget, the following issues resulted in the needed supplemental. When the fiscal year 17 budget was developed, the department projected a 16% increase in revenue generation between fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17, and a plan to increase promotion of the department's programs was put in place. Although revenues have increased in fiscal year 17, they have not increased as much as anticipated. In addition, the Parks and Recreation Department reduced its general fund support by a combined total of $669,300 in fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17. Any portion of this supplemental that is not used will be returned to fund balance. The Assembly Finance Committee referred this request for approval to the full Assembly at its meeting on April 19, 2017. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
I have no one signed up for public comment on this. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance Serial Number 2016-09-AP and ask unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, motion has carried. Ordinance 2016-09-AQ. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $250,000 as funding for the pump room as part of the fountain and whale-related site elements that are part of the Bridge Park Capital Improvement Project, funding provided through a donation from the Whale Project Committee.
Mr. Manager.
The Whale Project is donating $250,000 to the CBJ for the construction of the pump room as part of the fountain works for the whale statue at the Seawalk Bridge Park. This work will be completed as part of the Phase 3 Seawalk Bridge Park to Gold Creek project, and construction is anticipated this summer and fall. The donated funds will be appropriated into the Bridge Park CIP. Public Works and Facilities Committee forwarded this request to the full Assembly at its May 1st, 2017 regular meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
I have Bruce Patel signed up for comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, my name is Bruce Patello. I reside at 401 M Street, Douglas. Mr. Mayor, it was not my intent to evade you earlier in the meeting.
That's okay. I kind of figured out what was going on.
It's my pleasure, along with two of our key members of the Well Project Committee, to present a formal check to you in the amount of $250,000, which, of course, is the condition precedent for you being able to adopt the ordinance. I'd like to ask Gene Overstreet and Jim Clark to join me in formally presenting this check to you. We believe that this whale sculpture and the park will be an enduring monument to Alaska's 50th anniversary of statehood and will become a great symbol. If anyone has traversed the bridge recently, we've had an endorsement by our national bird several times, and it's already, I think, become a attraction to visitors and clearly to community members themselves. So with nothing further, Mr. Mayor, if I could ask both Gene and Jim to join me.
Yeah, share that with us, Lori.
Okay.
Thank
you.
If you turn that way, the there's a gentleman with the camera trying to get your picture. Thank you.
Now we're going to have a hard time turning this down, right? All right. Any other public comment on that? Seeing none, Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to say first, thank you to the Whale Committee for following through on what they committed to us they would do. It's very nice to have that done, and appreciate your diligence here. And I move that we adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AQ and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, the motion has carried. And again, we all add our thank you for bringing in this and following through on it. Thank you. Resolution 2793B. Madam Clerk.
A resolution authorizing the sale, possession, and consumption of alcoholic beverages within the Eagle Crest ski area and repealing Resolution 477.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution would authorize the sale, possession, and consumption of certain alcoholic beverages in the Eagle Crest ski area during private parties within the Eagle Crest ski area by sale of a licensed vendor and at special events or in connection with a commercial use permit upon approval by the Eagle Crest Board. The Human Resources Committee first considered this issue at its February 13, 2017 meeting at the request of the Eagle Crest Board. The HRC approved a motion to direct the attorney to draft the resolution. The issue was then heard by the Assembly Committee of the Whole at its joint meeting with the Eagle Crest Board on February 27, 2017, and again at its May 1st and May 22, 2017 meetings. On May 22nd, the Committee of the Whole approved a motion to forward the resolution amended to limit the type of alcoholic beverages which may be sold, possessed, or consumed to the full assembly for its consideration. One additional amendment, a new section specifically repealing Resolution 477, was also added. The amended language is shown in the attached version B by italicized text. I recommend you adopt this resolution.
Is there anyone signed up under public comment? Please come to the speaker chair and state your name and address, and you have 2 minutes.
My name is Lucy Squibb, and I reside at 8510 Rainbow Row, Juneau, Alaska. I'm here in support of the consumption and sales of alcohol at Eagle Crest Ski Area. I'm an avid skier and supporter of Eagle Crest. I think it really adds a lot to our community. It's part of the reason why I love to live in Juneau and find it to be a very social place. I'm also a ski coach and love to support the Alpine ski racing team there. I've also traveled around the country and around the world skiing, and most places I go, you're allowed to sell and consume alcohol, and it adds a lot to the community, in my opinion. Also, financially, I think it's a really good idea to add some more to Eagle Crest. Over the years, we've had some tough seasons, and if we can move away from a little bit taxpayers' dollars and a little bit more self-sufficient Eagle Crest, I think that could help us a lot. So thanks for considering this issue, and I hope you can pass this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Any further comments? That will bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can see how the cards have fallen tonight. I've gotten this one, and I will do it much like I do with my fishing net. I will stretch it out and hope for the best. I move adoption of Resolution 2793B. Here's where I'm hoping for the best, and ask for unanimous consent.
I object.
Okay, we have an objection.
Guess what?
Would you like to speak to your objection?
I think so. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I said this a little bit before, so it's not a surprise to the Assembly. I remember when the community was asked about this issue in previous years, and it was an overwhelming no. Maybe we have a whole new community. We have one young person for sure, but I do not see that the mountain's gotten any lower. We've still had accidents, and we will continue to have them, and putting liquor, I know they have the tailgate parties and all that, but tailgate parties is outside where it's cold and miserable, and inside the lodge where it's nice and warm and lovely drinking will be more appealing, and I think that it will cause more drinking. And the other thing is, and you mentioned it, our last speaker, we do a lot of children's lessons up there. We have the school lessons, people bring their kids. Other places that drinking occurs usually doesn't have a lot of children around, and this would have. I don't think that's a very good example for our young people. I don't think this is a good idea, and I will vote no on it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And it is the chair's wish that after unfinished business, we will be taking a break. But getting back to this one, Mr. Nan Curvis, do you wish to speak to it?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would. I don't recall what Ms. Becker's talking about, the community weighing in. Doesn't mean that didn't happen. It just means I don't recall, or more likely than not was not paying attention at the time that that occurred. But it's been my experience that supervised alcoholic consumption is much better than unsupervised alcoholic consumption. There were some amendments made to prohibit the use of hard liquor sale up there, and this body approved that, and they have discussed how they would operate and not be open late to allow people the chance to sit there and drink all night and then drive down the hill. And I think this is overdue. It should have been done some time ago, and I support it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Also for the economic reasons that other people stated and the other reason mentioned as well by both staff and our testimony tonight is that most other ski facilities do this. And what we have here is a unique situation where it's the city's facility and it's not a private facility, and that's where we get into these conversations over whether this is allowed or not. And I think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to discuss? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
It's hard to be all alone.
Go, Mary, go.
Been there.
That's right. Everyone has been there.
Yeah, we all have.
All right. Unfinished business, Mr. Manager?
I have no unfinished business.
We will take a break until the big hand is on the two. That is 10 after it. At ease.
Programming is supported by Alaska Graphics, showcasing businesses and organizations through on-screen advertising at Gross Alaska Movie Theaters, now including animation, video, and optional audio. Information on advertising on the big screen at akonscreen.com.
NOAA Fisheries reminds you, please do not feed Steller sea lions. Feeding sea lions is illegal and could result in aggressive sea lion behavior. Clean your fish and discard your fish waste out of reach of Steller sea lions. Keep your distance. Stay at least 100 yards away from these animals. Feeding, harassing, or harming Steller sea lions is illegal under federal law. To report an incident, please call NOAA Enforcement at 1-800-853-1964.
Former Dallas Police Chief David O. Brown made headlines when he told protesters to put down their signs and join the force. In his new book, he talks about what it takes to heal racial division.
It takes not a big group, not yelling and screaming, but let's sit down and listen to each other and invite someone home for dinner.
I'm Robert Siegel, former Police Chief David O. Brown, on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
We're live and we're local, KTOO Juneau at 104.3. The weather for tonight calls for rain, lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, chance of rain, highs in the mid-60s. Wednesday, chance of rain, highs in the mid-60s. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 50. The time is 8:07, and we have been listening to the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They're currently on a 5-minute break, and we will listen to music until they return in session.
Stop it!
Copy of the state's comments. Since the assembly did not give any direction as to a policy position to take on the comment, the letter was drafted as basically a purely factual recitation of what the impacts would be, and then it is modified by the tentative agreement, the points that were reached at the joint meeting last week held between Mr. Keel, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, myself, and members of Central Council, including President Peterson, their General Counsel, Ms. Garza, and I'm thinking Mr. Ken, and that's not right.
Truitt.
Mr. Truitt, thank you.
So
if you're looking at what I'm looking for this evening is an approval or modification of the letter in some direction. Our comment is due tomorrow.
The chair would entertain a motion to, forward this letter as it is written, and then we can go from there. So if someone would like to move that. Ms.
Sure.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the letter that Ms. Mead wrote. And I would offer some comments regarding what the state added. My concern is that my understanding is that once a few are approved, the second round are held to a different standard. And if we're only commenting about the parking lot, that's one thing, but commenting on the whole thing. So I appreciated some of the things the state said, like, two, the piecemeal process may allow the later acquired parcels to be processed under a different standard that gives less weight to state and local concerns. So I think that's a thing that we should mention and be concerned about. And the whole process, the difficulty that we had getting the applications, and maybe worth some comment, just like B, number B in there in the states. It says B, doesn't seem right though, but on page 405, number 2, and also B.
Oh, yeah.
Adding that, something like that, to the letter.
Is there discussion? Ms. Keel.
I guess I would ask Ms. Gladyszewski if she's proposing a change. Do you think there are issues related to future parcels that the proposed agreement doesn't address?
I don't have the proposed agreement.
It was emailed by the city attorney on Friday?
I have the letter.
Yeah.
But I guess I missed
it. Right, the letter outlining the structure of an agreement. Proposed structure, how about that?
Oh, proposed structure. Well, not specifically, other than, again, my understanding is that once the four are approved, the next four and the next six are easier to be approved. And I don't know that we've analyzed them all together. We're only asked to talk about the current parcels and not comment on the possible next parcels, right?
That's correct. We are only commenting on these eight parcels.
And that's just concerning that we haven't analyzed the whole thing. That's all.
Mr. Keel.
Hey, just to my own thought on the topic would be that the meeting and the structure that the city manager, or excuse me, that the city attorney lays out in her draft letter, I thought was pretty comprehensive, was very forward-looking, and was really designed to look at what impacts we might reasonably see. I think it covers a lot more than one parking lot when you look at what's in there. So I appreciate and don't have any issues with the concerns about how BIA handled this, but I guess I was pretty satisfied that draft structure in the city attorney's letter really covers what we're looking at in for the very long term.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the attorney's draft letter, there is a comment somewhere here in Campfire right now that talks about a 13-year agreement that those several of those parcels be maintained as a parking lot, correct?
Correct.
And in a previous proposal, I think from Central Council, there was some language regarding dissolution of the agreement. And I did not see anything along those lines in your draft letter. Is that intentional or what?
No, the request was that the agreement be revocable by either party.
Oh, okay. And then follow up to that, then, if I may, Mr. Mayor, that either side can move to revoke the agreement, and it doesn't necessarily need the other half of the other party to agree. They can just say we don't like this, and therefore we want out. And we are out. Is that correct? Is that the way it's?
Somewhat. So there's been a beginning agreement. The letter of intent laid out the main building blocks, if you will, for a future intergovernmental agreement. But given the schedule for, I think it's their executive council, where they meet later in the summer, and the fact that a larger agreement is going to have to be drafted and come to the assembly, in short, yes, revocable by either party, but I'm sure that the final agreement would have more safeguards in place as far as how that extrication would happen. So it couldn't be, I don't think anyone's envisioning we're terminating the agreement as of 2:00 tomorrow. So there will be an extrication process. I don't know what that looks like, but in the end, you are correct, revocable by other side without consent of the other party.
So if I may, Mr. Mayor, follow up on that, then there's an agreement that can be voided. Thank you. I will oppose the motion then for that reason. Thank you.
Just want to make sure I understand. The agreement that we sign, whatever it says, will just be an agreement, and then it can go away at any time. But, of course, the land trust is forever.
Correct.
So, okay, thank you.
Further discussion or clarification?
Just following with that train of thought, then I would assume that the BIA does not look at anything you've particularly made as an agreement and would not have any restrictions or demands on either party to keep with it.
So the BIA, which is why the comment, the regulations are set up this way, the BIA, the federal government will be taking ownership of these parcels if the application is approved. They need to know what the impact to the federal government will be and what the impact to the local government will be as a result of the fee-to-trust process being approved. That's why they asked the local government to opine about the regulatory and jurisdictional impacts. The existence of the intergovernmental agreement can be designed to mitigate those impacts, so the government does want to hear about that, in particular, for example, with criminal law, because there's concurrent jurisdiction. There's federal, there's state, and as we've agreed, there will be local jurisdiction and tribal jurisdiction. So they want to understand what that impact will be, but they do not necessarily, they do not require an intergovernmental agreement. If we didn't have one, they wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't impact the process. And I just wanted to clarify one thing, Ms. Glashevsky, the importance of the, what the state called the piecemealed approach. The difference in the standards that are applied by the BIA are between off-reservation and on-reservation applications. So right now, this is all off-reservation property. But there is a request that there be a reservation proclamation issued, which would make this an initial reservation of the tribe. And if that can only occur on trust property, from what the BIA told me. And once that happens, the applications would be the comments from the local government are given different weight.
Say that again, please.
Right.
The what?
If the trust parcels were granted reservation status, which is concurrently being considered, is what the BIA told me. If that occurs, the comments from the local government on future applications are given different weight. Once the reservation is established, the addition of additional trust property is an easier process. That might not be the right word, but in essence, the local government's concerns are lessened.
Ms. Becker?
What are the kinds of things a reservation can do that a trust can't do?
Well, the when it's trust property, it's still federal property, so there are limitations as to what the tribe could do. They are governed by federal law. So, for example, they could not open a marijuana shop could not open on trust property because that is prohibited under federal law. The reservation status is becomes a sovereign enclave. That is no longer a federal government property. That is theirs.
Okay, Mr. Nagy-Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What I forgot to mention earlier is that I would agree with Ms. Gladyszewski and that I would like to see us incorporate some of this stuff because I think the piecemeal processing, I'm referring to the state's letter that we got tonight, under A, also A2 and B, I would agree with the state's arguments, and I would like to see us incorporate some of that. Thank you. If the letter does go forward.
Are you making those as amendments?
No.
Okay. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will then. I would like to have of the state's memo A on page 2, 2 on page 3, and B on page 4.
I already
at least referenced in the letter that we concur with their comments. I don't think we need to replace the language. I just think we need to reference that we've read the state's letter. And we have particular concerns about those three.
Mr. Mayor, I already my motion already included 2 on page 3 and B in the By the Way department. So I didn't realize what. So it's A, 2, and B.
A, 2, and B were part of your main motion?
Correct. And I don't object to add it. A.
So, just trying to keep this understandable, your motion was to send the attorney's letter referencing A, page 2,
nope.
2, page 3, B, page 4?
Just to be clear, the original one was 2 on page 3 and B on page 4, but I would add A as well.
As a friendly amendment?
Yes. And again, just saying, making those points.
Can I ask you a procedural question? Is that a single motion, or are we talking about the additions now and then back to the main letter?
We are talking about the main motion as restated, A, page 2,
okay.
2, page 3, B, page 4.
Thank you. So, if I may.
Yes.
The state's letter was intriguing. It's the first time I've ever seen it take 4.5 pages to say the BIA should consult with us more and not do things piecemeal. I don't know why it didn't take 3 lines. But I don't have any problem with saying that part. I guess we've been a little locked in whether to ask the BIA to please consult with us more and not do things piecemeal. If it's all right, just a little bit broader conversation, I think, about this letter generally. The city attorney wrote exactly what we asked her to write initially, which was a broad factual letter that described what potential issues the city sees and the structure of an agreement that would mitigate them. And I guess I would invite your comments, since you were in the room, Mr. Mayor. I think it's a pretty good structure. And I think, in fact, that it's good enough that we ought to support the tribe's application and ask the city attorney to include that. And I'll tell you why. I think broadly that this can be complicated. There's going to be stuff we didn't foresee, and that happens whenever something new comes around, and that's not a reason to try and say no to something that has the potential to really improve the way a significant portion of our community manages their lands and interacts with the rest of the community. So I think, given that we oughtn't say no, It really behooves us, especially since the tribe came to the table in absolutely good faith, and we worked through everything we could foresee today. I think it behooves us to say yes. I think this new land status is coming, and it's going to be complicated. We're going to get a surprise at some point down the road, but we have partners sitting in the back of the room who absolutely are willing to work with us, and you see that in the draft structure that's in the city attorney's letter. It's probably never going to make sense for Lincoln High to Central Council, with its land holdings in Juneau, to have its own tribal police department, right? They recognized that, and that was, in fact, they asked that JPD be the law enforcement there, and we're absolutely fine with the concepts that the city attorney put forward of what it would take to have us do that. So that's just one example, and we could run through the letter and all the issues that are in there, snow removal and not charging the adjacent neighbors, and, you know, on and on, and all the way down to, you know, the rainforest recovery van picking people up. I mean, got pretty granular. So I think... It's a good structure. I think that this new relationship is coming, and it's in our interest and the interest of our shared citizens to support it. So I'm going to move that we direct the city attorney to include our support in her letter.
Are you amending the motion?
Yes. Okay. I offer that as an amendment.
Is there a discussion?
Sure.
Ms. White?
I read the letter several times. I didn't see where it said no or that it didn't support the application. But if I don't see the harm in reiterating that, but I guess in a whole lot less words, I didn't see where we were suggesting they deny the application.
Further discussion on Mr. Keel's amendment. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would object. Ms. White stated pretty clearly that it is not an objection in there, but I would also again reiterate that I am not in favor of doing something indelible ink. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Becker?
I agree with Mr. Nankervis because, as the attorney told us, when you get to reservation status, which I have heard said that that was a goal, we will have no rights. And if you look in other states that have reservations, and there's everything under the sun that is allowed, not that it would be here, but it could be, because they would have the right to allow many, many things without us having any right to say no or talk to them about it or encourage an agreement. Anyway, I think it's indelible link. I think that's a good way to put it. It makes me nervous. So,
Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to speak in favor of the letter. I think that the letter addressed exactly what we asked the city attorney to do. I apologize that I was not able to attend that committee meeting. I was out of town and traveling. I would have liked to have been there. Mr. Keel, I think I must agree with his comments today. Thank you, Mr. Keel, for that. You know, regardless of whether this land is held in trust or whether it's going to be in reservation status, I think that those things will occur, whether we approve of it or not. And I think that Central Council has been a good neighbor. I think they've been good citizens. They have 6,000 or so tribal members that live in this community that we are here to represent. And I think that this provides them with additional opportunities for funding, which continues to enhance our community. It also continues to enhance the lives of their tribal members. And as representatives of this community, I think it's important that we recognize what this does for Central Council Klingenhut Indian Tribes of Alaska, and that we move forward with full support of their lands into trust, and whether or not they become a reservation or not, in reservation status, and that we move forward with the letter as it's been written.
Okay. What we have before us is the amendment, though, of Mr. Keel stated for the support, and that's what we're working on right now. Further comment? Ms. Gladys,
just a question. Yes, so were you speaking in favor of the motion, of the letter? So this amends the letter that has been written?
Yeah, in the amended letter.
Did you wish to say anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Is there objection to the amendment? Okay.
To the amendment to add support, correct?
Correct. Yes, Madam Attorney.
Was there a unanimous consent for the First Amendment?
That's part of the underlying
motion. That's part of the motion.
Under.
We haven't voted on that yet.
The first motion amendment wasn't really an amendment because it was already in Maria's motion.
My understanding.
She didn't.
I got it.
Okay.
Let's go with your understanding, though, just to make sure we're all clear.
My understanding is that the main motion was to forward the letter as tendered by our attorney, including in it reference to the state letter A, page 2, 2, page 3, B, page 4. That is the main motion as I understand it. Mm-hmm. Are we all on that page?
Yes.
Okay, now we have an amendment. And, Mr. Keel, you want to restate your amendment?
The amendment is to add an explicit statement of support for the applications.
Okay. Are you ready?
Was there another?
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
And Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-4.
Okay, we're back to the main motion as amended.
Somebody got a check on that?
Yeah, I think we need
to check that way too.
Should we call Bob? Don't.
Sounds like WWF.
Yeah.
Do you want to call Bob? Hopefully, we don't need it.
The CBJ assembly meeting is on a brief at ease, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Well, you can't go on in a day.
The motion to amend to add explicit statement of support for the application passed 5-4.
The amendment. The main motion.
Are you ready for the main motion?
We will have the main motion in a minute, hopefully.
Oh.
So there is a slight inconsistency between Mr. Keel's amendment and Ms. Gladyszewski's main motion, and I just want to point that out so that you can clear that up. The state's position is, well, we don't know if we are supporting or not because we want to consider the entirety of the applications that are, there are currently more applications pending in front of the BIA than the ones that the BIA chose to send out for public comment. There's at least one other one that covers the Andrew Hope Building parcels. The state's position is we need to consider them all together and not piecemeal them. So I understand you would like to include that in the letter, but are you, so is, if I read everything together, it's we support what's going on, but we would like the opportunity to comment on everything at once. So it's not a yes, move forward right now. It's yes, we support what's happening. We support this land moving into trust, but we want you to consider our more comprehensive comment.
I would just comment. I think you can support the application and still object to the process. And my now that I see, I originally didn't add a, that was added. But you can say, you know, BIA's piecemeal processing prevents a full and fair evaluation. I mean, that's still true. I mean, we still support it, but that is still true. It does, the way they're doing it prevents a full and fair evaluation. And the piecemeal process does allow, if we understand it correctly, greater, you know, the second one to be evaluated at a different standard. I mean, that's true. And they should also give us notice better. Those are all still true, and we still support the application. And
so
I'm saying repeat this entire paragraph. That I'm talking about the bullet on the top.
So is it a we would like to comment on all the applications. However, if you're going to move forward right now, we support it.
Correct.
Do we have agreement?
That's what I mean.
No, I mean between the maker of the amendment and the maker of the main motion.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So we're back to the motion as amended. And the motion is to send the letter as written by the attorney with the amendment made by Mr. Keel.
With references to the statement.
The what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in the main motion already.
Okay.
Further discussion. Seeing none, is there objection? There's objection. The clerk, please call the roll.
Okay. Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Staff reports.
No staff reports, thank you.
Mayor's report. I'm going to try to make this brief because we are approaching 9 o'clock. In honor before June 14th, I would like to request that the manager prepare a list of accomplishments, challenges, and future goals for his evaluation process. Again, that is accomplishments, challenges, and future goals. Honor before June 28th, I'd like the manager to meet individually with each assembly member to discuss those challenges, goals, and accomplishments. And in the July COW meeting, I'd like to have an executive session on the evaluation at that time. So basically, what I'm asking is that the manager go ahead and do his year in review, that he prepare that document, that you meet with him individually, he meets with you individually, and you bring forth your, laudits and concerns and challenges, and that when we do have our COW in July, we can finish the evaluation then. So that's how I'm prepared to do the evaluation. And on June 12th at the COW, the mayor and the manager will have the mining committee structure set out as far as the tasks that you assign the manager and the mayor. That's at the June 12th COW. And that is all I think I have to remember because we're going to make things go quickly at this time, correct? Committee and liaison reports. And we don't have a C, we don't have any presiding officer reports. So B, starting with Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission met on May 2nd at 5:15. They elected new officers. Kathleen Strasbaugh is the chair of the commission. Wayne Coogan is the vice chair. The Affordable Housing Commission has a question for the assembly, and they wanted to know if the assembly has a direction and an area where they would like the commission to focus. They are currently still broken out into working groups, and one of the issues that came up was looking at a possible site for a new trailer park in town. There was a site that was identified on Back Loop Road that appeared to be favorable. There's going to be possibly 90 to 100 units in this park. They're looking at a garden park type atmosphere. So they're currently looking into that. And I think they're, the big question is there an area where the assembly would like the commission to focus? They continue to review vacancy rates, and they look at that monthly as far as availability on Craigslist and other advertisements in the newspaper. Moving on, the Eagle Crest Board met. They have been talking with the Nordic Ski Club and focusing on the Nordic skiing up at Eagle Crest and looking to boost those numbers and get more people up there. They are currently looking to set rates. I was unable to attend their last meeting last week due to my travel, where they may have possibly set those rates. Unfortunately, I was not at that meeting. I haven't seen the minutes yet, so I apologize for that. They are working on possibly looking at exterior lighting for safety at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. I understand it's quite dark out there. And that concludes my report.
All right. So it was the affordable housing that desires direction if we have any specific.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I wanted to take that one up, but. Sure that we'll find some time to take that. Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a question for Mr. Gregory then. Do you know if they have looked at the zoning and stuff in the area that they're talking about?
Yes, they're looking
for the
at
the proposal zone. And whether that's an allowable use of that land or not? Do you
yes,
know?
Yes, I believe that was part of their discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Weldon?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For JEDC, they have their Maritime Festival on May 6th, and it was well attended with 5,000 attendees, they projected, and 80% came downtown specifically for the event, and I was one of those people. It was a very fun event. They've dispersed a loan to a local child care operator, and their first STEM summer camp started today. And Juneau is ranked the number 8 in the nation of the most arts vibrant small communities by the National Center for Arts Research. And a little visitor industry fact, it's kind of fun. Juneau is the most visited city in Alaska in the summer, and we expect 1,055,000 cruise ship passengers, and that's 50,000 more than Seattle. And as part of their business advocacy role, JEDC IT team developed a tool in the app Slack that allows retailers to share information about shoplifters amongst themselves. So that might help what's going on. For the school board, for JEDC's next meeting is this Wednesday at noon at the JEDC building. School board, they spent some time honoring their retirees, which there were several of them, and they approved the deferred maintenance and small capital improvement projects for fiscal year 2018. They approved a resolution in support of pre-K programs. And their next meeting will be June 13th at 6 o'clock at Thunder Mountain High School, and this is their last one until this fall.
Thank you. Ms. White?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be rather brief as I was out of town for a while for medical stuff. Next Lands Committee meeting will be on June 12th, immediately before the Committee of the Whole. I'll have to ask either Mr. Nankervis or Mr. Jones to tell me about the last Planning Commission meeting since I was out of town. Aquatics is still moving forward. I believe the pool covers for the downtown pool may have been ordered or they're out for bid. Travel Juneau will have their board meeting this Thursday morning.
And then on a side note, you had asked me to work with Mr. Gregory and Ms. Gladyszewski to form a homeless task force. And I would like to chat with the two of them briefly either after this meeting or after Wednesday's meeting. Their choice. I think we just need a couple of minutes, and I think the three of us can have a frank conversation about the structure of the task force. And that's all I have for you.
Thank you. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Bartlett board met. I was sick, and they didn't get notes yet, so I'll let you know what happened when I get those notes. And the Sustainability Commission has been working diligently on the energy plan, and they've revised it a number of times, and we'll see it soon, sometime. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met prior to assembly meeting this evening. We have quite a few comments and some board appointments. The first matter we took up was the bidding review board. We had one seat for a full term beginning immediately and expiring as of May 31st, 2020. Human Resources Committee is recommending the appointment of Edward King to that seat to expire 5/31/2020.
Is there objection? Nomination is approved.
The next one we looked at was the Board of Equalization. There are six seats for various terms beginning immediately and expiring. I won't go through the list since we only had one applicant, and that was an incumbent, Paul Nowlin. The Human Resources Committee is recommending that Paul Nowlin be appointed to the seat, terms expiring 12/31/19.
Is there objection? Nomination is approved.
Thank you. The next one was the Juvenile Human Rights Commission. I would refer you to the packet for their annual report, which I think we were very pleased to get, given the turnover in the committee last year and their decision to begin working to pull that committee back together and to look at the issues that the Assembly has charged them with. I think it's a very good report for you to look at. We also had three seats, two seats for full terms beginning immediately and expiring May 31st, 2020, and one seat for an unexpired term beginning immediately and expiring May 31st, 2019. Human Resources Committee is requesting the reappointment of Samantha Weinstein and Haifa Siddiqui to the two seats expiring 5/31/2020.
Is there objection? Motion is approved.
And the Human Resources is recommending the appointment of Freddie Olin IV to the Human Rights Commission seat, term expiring 5/31/2019.
Is there objection? Motion is approved.
The next item that we took up was the Treadwell Arena Advisory Board. They also had an annual report that was very extensive. There were several issues in here related to some revenue issues, advertisements, clarity on rental agreements, clarity on the process for permits for alcohol sales at special events, many of which I would have thought would have already been discussed. And so I talked to the manager briefly, and I'll be meeting with him and the deputy manager to talk about some of the issues in that report. I think it also involves the attorney and rental agreement similar to Eagle Crest and other things that we've sort of run into. So in addition, we had three seats on the Treadwell Arena Advisory Board for terms expiring May 31st, 2020. We had one applicant. The Human Resources Committee recommends the reappointment of Jason Sosa to a term from 5/31/2020.
Any objection? Motion is carried.
We also had appointments to the Utility Advisory Board. We had three seats whose terms expiring May 31st, 2020. We had two applicants. And the Human Resources Committee recommends the appointment of Grant Ritter and Janet Schimpf to terms expiring 5/31/2020.
Is there any objection? Motion is carried.
Thank you. And for those in the listening audience and also to the Assembly, as you notice, we had several of these committees did not have applicants for every seat. So I would recommend that if you know people, encourage them. If people are listening in and want to volunteer, check the list with the city. As I'll get to, we're going to meet Wednesday night on some enterprise boards, and we have lots of applications, but for some of these others, we don't. Also tonight, if you'll look in your red folder, there's a packet in there related to the Juneau Commission on Aging. Juneau Commission on Aging had gotten down to three members, one of whom had not been very active in the last two or three months. So I met with the existing members, past members, two clerks helped me out. We had a couple of series of meetings. There's a packet of information in there. The Human Resources Committee is going to meet for half an hour early on our end of June meeting just to work on that. We're looking at how we can reformulate, how we can get them some support, how we might regenerate the Juneau Commission on Aging and set its tasks. So the sort of work plan we worked on is in your packet. And we'll see where that goes after we have a work session at the end of June. The status on the Fisheries Development Committee, Human Resources has been looking at this, talking with the chair, Jim Becker. I know that he has had conversations with Docks and Harbors. None of that has come to much fruition. And I talked to Mr. Becker last week. And his decision was supported by the Human Resources Committee. So we have asked staff to meet with the attorney to draft a resolution abolishing or terminating the Fisheries Development Committee. We just did that tonight. Okay. And so that'll come back before us. Basically, Mr. Becker says they're done. The last thing we talked about was the status of the Friends of the Flag Committee. I held a meeting with the Downtown Business Association Friends of the Flag Board. We'd come to an agreement, but the DBA was wanting to partner with Travel Juneau. So the chair of the DBA board, myself, and executive director of Travel Juneau met. Travel Juneau agreed to talk with their insurance provider. We thought since they already carry liability insurance for 200 volunteers, Friends of the Flag volunteers probably wouldn't cost any more. Didn't get a welcoming reception, but didn't get turned down. I did check with the DBA chair on Friday. She had not heard back from Travel Juneau, but there is a Travel Juneau board meeting on Thursday. And so I'm hoping that that topic will be discussed and we'll have a better feel for whether or not we can come up with a cooperative agreement between Travel Juneau and the DBA board on that one. And then the only other thing I would mention is all of you have your green folder for the meeting Wednesday night. We have the Aquatics Board, Eagle Crest, and Docks and Harbors. We've had several people that are listed in there for interviews that today have withdrawn. We still have interviews out until about 8 o'clock. The first interview is not till 5:15. It's still noticed for 5 o'clock. So if we're all there a little bit after 5, but before 5:15, we'll be okay. I will be there at 5 if there's anybody from the public. So read that material, and we'll be off and running on the for those particular board. The DBA is their next meeting is on the 13th. They haven't met since some of my last reports. The airport board had a special finance committee meeting. They also had a special meeting on the 31st of May to discuss change in their regulations related to transportation network companies, this Uber and Lyft. I've been getting a couple of emails and some phone calls related to that. This is a regulation process that is currently out for public comment. It's a 21-day public comment. Comments are due by the close of business June 21st. It's on the left-hand side of the homepage on the city's website. I missed it the first time. I had to go all the way to the airport board, and it took me a while to find it. But it is there. They also have set a special meeting on June 22nd, I believe at 10 o'clock in the morning, to look at the regulations and to the comments that they received during that 21-day period. So if anybody in the listening audience wants to comment on those regulations, they are on the homepage. I also will mention that I have talked to the attorney. When I first saw this, I was not able to attend the meetings. And the attorney had not seen the regulations prior to the board adopting them. The attorney's office wasn't present at the meeting on May 31st, but she assures me they will be there on the 22nd. They are reviewing the regulations, and I think law has some issues, and hopefully those will get straightened out. I guess some of the concern is whether or not we can do what the regulations want us to do. And I will not be at the June 22nd meeting either. So I just wanted the public to know that those regulations are out there. You can read them on the city website. And comments are due by close of business June 21st. And currently the board is scheduled to meet June 22nd at 10 a.m. to consider those. Otherwise, their next regular meeting is June 13th, Tuesday. The city calendar says June 13th. The airport calendar says June 8th, but the minutes from the last meeting say June 13th. So that's when the airport board is a meeting, I believe, is June 13th. That's my committee and liaison reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee did a lot of work since our last meeting, and pretty much all of it, I think, was reflected in tonight's actions. Thank you all for all of your work on the budget, the mill rate, the CIP. We next meet, because Mr. Jones has this coming Wednesday the 7th for HRC, we next meet on Wednesday the 14th. We will start hearing presentations and having initial discussions about the 1% tax that we ask the voters to reauthorize every 5 years. The wish list is a great deal larger than the 1% will ever generate, and so it will fall to the Assembly to make a lot of decisions. Let me encourage each and every one of you to get either with me or with Mr. Bartholomew if is something you're interested in the city doing with that, or rather asking the voters to do with that money. Make sure that it gets vetted. Make sure that it gets on the Finance Committee's agenda. And if you have thoughts about our process and how we should examine that, please let me or Mr. Bartholomew know as we're getting those agendas ready. We attempted to have a Finance Committee meeting I think last week. There were not enough folks in town for a late-breaking meeting. The most important item on that agenda, from my perspective, was to talk about our budget process for next year. Talk about it early. Make sure that everybody has a chance, having just been through it, while it's fresh in our minds, to suggest ways we can do it better. Always looking for improvements. So I welcome those suggestions, and we can talk about that at a future Finance Committee meeting as well. Moving on from the Finance Committee meeting, the UAS Campus Council is on hiatus while between the semesters here. However, the administration out at UAS and the professors are anxiously awaiting a budget from the state. A lot of potential changes depending on how that comes out. They are actively working and engaging actually a little bit of outside help to help guide the university through the consolidation of the School of Education administrative piece. at UAS. And so that is a major work item out on campus these days, and I wanted to make sure we were all aware of that. The Alaska Municipal League has our next meeting, our summer conference. There it is, summer, yeah, conference is in Haines. So it's right in the neighborhood, August 16th and 17th. In the flurries and flutters of emails we all get all the time, Ms. Sika has forwarded information about that. But if you want to attend, be sure and get with the clerk's office on that. Dovetailing in with Mr. Jones' airport report, the league staff, the executive director, sent out an email asking all municipalities to write to the governor about the Transportation Network Company's legislation. I think it's fair to say there's a serious legal question about whether we can tell a driver of one of these companies where at the airport they can pick up and drop off, whether it's possible to have any sort of charge at all. For that matter, the same issue with the cruise ship docks in the height of the season. And, of course, that's not just a Juneau issue. That's a statewide preemption of all municipalities. And so the league staff has asked all municipalities to weigh in with the governor and ask him to stand up for local control when that bill hits his desk. So I wanted to pass that major concern on to the assembly. The bill has not yet been transmitted to the governor as of yesterday. I didn't check it today. But I will lay that on the table in case anyone is interested. Those are my committee and liaison reports, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Public Works had a meeting, and thank you, Maria, for helping out with that chairmanship. They approved the Augustus Brown pool cover. Should save a lot of heat by covering it. The results of the informal poll for the LID for Mendenhall River erosion was 20 yes and 5 no out of 27 or 25 out of 27 property owners. And that was for paying for going into an LID. Proposed formation of an LID was sent to the COW community hall. And docks and harbors ribbon cutting for Mike Fusage Boat Harbor and for Statter Harbor were held. They were great events. If you don't know how many fusages there are available, you should have been there. It was amazing. As Mr. Keel said about the transportation processes in the legislature, the board discussed, Docks and Harbors Board discussed that too. And the port director is going to try to negotiate with them about safety and fees. Is it going to be, there's a concern about where they can go pick up passengers from the cruise ships when the taxis already are paying and have places that they pick up, and then to add this into the mix, it will need to be discussed. The Marine Exchange requested some parking spaces from the harbor, and there is agreement made that they will pay $50 per space per year, with the agreement lasting 6 years. There was a request to the Docks and Harbors to put carts on the docks, and they're going to be looking into that. The next board meeting is the 22nd of June. The Chamber's last meeting, Senator Murkowski was here as a guest speaker. She talked mainly about the Arctic and the fact that we need to catch up as a country. She went with the Secretary of Interior, visiting Alaska and going in many, many, many places in Alaska. The Chamber's holding a golf challenge on June 10. If you went to it last year, it was very successful. A lot of prizes, 2 airline ticket, 10,000 miles, a prize at every hole. So you might want to take part in that. The Alaska Committee agreed to contribute to the commissioning program for the new Coast Guard cutter, Bailey Barco, who will be homeported in Ketchikan. We also agreed to contribute to the welcoming banner for the USS O'Kane. The Facility Committee with the City and the School District will be holding our next meeting June 14 at noon. The report is complete from our consultant, Jensen Yorby Lott and Joanne Lott, unless we ask for more information. The main agenda items for that meeting will be to read that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I have to do it, unless you'd like to do it and make me some good notes. You know, you remember those, don't you? Anyway, read that and come with questions, because we will need to decide what our next steps are going to be and if we want to formalize this report as it is or ask for additional information. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The last committee of the whole meeting was on May 22nd, where we discussed lands in trust, as we did again tonight. We discussed community wellness, and we discussed alcohol at Eagle Crest. Again, we finished up our discussion on that tonight. Our next meeting is scheduled for the 12th, next Monday. Our tentative schedule, and it is tentative at this time, our topics are Meander Way Retaining Wall, the Mining Ordinance, Alternate Development Overlay Districts, that's a mouthful, and possibly Attorney for Prosecutions and Collections. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Brings us to Assembly comments and questions. I'll begin. I really appreciated the Alaska Committee funding the banner for the USS O'Kane. I also appreciated the Alaska Committee stepping up and funding $1,000 for the commissioning of the Bailey Barco, which will be done in Juneau on June 14th. At the AJ dock at 3 p.m. I think in both those cases, it shows good neighbor policy and a welcoming committee to this community. And I appreciated the Alaska committee stepping up and doing those. I was one of the people that think that, or thought and think that the sooner we can do a hot wash or a debriefing for the last go-around on the budget, the better off we are. Instead of plunging right into the 1%, I would like to use at least part of that finance committee to talk about what went well and what can go better in the next go-around while we all have that fresh in mind. I totally appreciate the work that Mr. Keel did on that, and I totally appreciate the Assembly not using tonight to nitpick that budget. It went extremely well. It wasn't that we just sat here and passed a budget of $300 and some million and had no thought process in it. It was a very well thought out process. I appreciate that we're going to be looking at a supplemental and that we can do it then, but at the same time have city workers and people that depend on that particular budget know that it is passed. So I am much appreciative. And again, I think we need to have that debriefing and hot wash on the budget process as soon as we can, and also get started looking at a supplemental budget as we're going through this process. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. We'll go on the opposite way down.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You actually spoke about the first one I had, which was the budget. Again, as you illustrated, that it went pretty fast tonight, but it didn't go pretty fast getting to tonight. And if you just came and watched it tonight, you'd think there wasn't a whole lot of debate. But there was quite a bit of debate. And I think it's a good idea, as the mayor mentions, to sit down and talk about process again before we get into it. And Mr. Jones had from HRC had a bunch of comments regarding our boards and commissions, and there for years now there's been difficulty seating all the boards and commissions that we have, and there seems to be some hesitancy to bring this up. So I will let you know, I will probably bring up somewhere in the future the question about whether we need all of the boards and commissions that we currently have or if we don't. And I know that's never a popular thing to bring up because I value the input that we have by all our volunteers on on all our different boards and commissions, but I believe we are at 31 mm-hmm. boards and commissions, and we are having trouble seating them, and I think that we need to have a discussion about whether we need all of the boards and commissions that we currently have or if we don't. And we're pretty quick to form them, but we're pretty slow to dissolve them if maybe there's not a need for them anymore. So I will think about which ones, and I will bring that back at a later date. And as Ms. Becker alluded to, that the docks and harbors openings were great. They were well attended. And if you were at the Mike Pusich Douglas one, I did not want to get up. I just felt that was for the Pusich family to be in the front of that photo, not Jerry. So I just sat there for that one. But they were both great. Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you. There's nothing from me.
Okay. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank you and the manager and the attorney for several hours of work with the leadership team from Clinkett Haida Central Council. That was an excellent and productive discussion. So I thanked them earlier, but I wanted to thank all of you for your work. Appreciated, as always, the Memorial Day observances. I went to the one at Evergreen Cemetery and also at the Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall and the memorial outside. Those are important and moving observances, and I appreciate the folks who put them on, the VFW and the Southeast Native Vets. I know the American Legion puts one on as well. I guess I don't have a motion for Mr. Gregory. I will provide my thoughts in terms of if the Affordable Housing Commission is looking for an area of focus. One of the things called for in the Comprehensive Plan and the Housing Action Plan, both, is preserving our housing units. And that takes, when you read through the two of those, it takes really three forms that are very closely related. One is making sure they don't burn down or get torn down. The other is dealing with blighted properties, and then redevelopment. And they're all really different ways to get at the same thing, I think. But the quickest, or maybe the least controversial way to get another housing unit is to take one that's vacant and boarded up and redevelop it. And so it raises a lot of thorny issues. I know we've got a lot of really good people on that commission. I would love their help and advice on what the city might do to encourage that redevelopment and encourage dealing with blighted properties that are currently sitting empty or maybe worse than empty, housing folks who are engaged in problematic behavior there. And then a question for the manager or whomever he'd like to punt to. I know that the Commission on Sustainability has talked with us many months ago about the draft energy plan. There's been a lot of work since. Do you have any sort of an update on where that stands and when the Assembly might see that again?
I don't have an exact update, but the latest information I have is that the Commission on Sustainability hopes to wrap up their work soon, and the question I was trying to find an answer to was whether they were forwarding that to the Commission or to the Assembly, and I don't know, but we can find out what path that might take.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I would appreciate that. I know there was a request from a member of the public and public testimony tonight to join a group I'm not familiar with at all. It seems to me that the productive endeavor for the city right now is to look at that draft energy plan and whether there are improvements that we can make for the citizens of the city and borough of Juneau that maybe have good follow-on effects elsewhere. But I would think that's the place for us to focus our work.
Thank you. Mr. Jones?
Thank you. I guess I would like to bring back up the issue on the transportation network companies. I certainly share the concerns that AML has. What concerned me more was I reported on what the airport is doing. I didn't think about it. Then Ms. Becker reported on what Oxford Harbors was thinking about. I guess I would like the manager to get those two people together with the attorney. And if a letter to the governor would be helpful. If not, you know, bring back something just as an information item, maybe on the committee of the whole or whatever. But it seems to me that if we have two enterprise funds that are in charge of parking, which is another one of my big issues, and where taxis can park and what are taxi zones and what are van zones and pedicab zones, and if we're going to, you know, run up against an organization that will come into those areas that we can't regulate, I think that's a big issue. So I would just like the manager to get together with Docks and Harbors and the airport, maybe together with law, and see if those two could at least have similar ideas or similar basis. If we're going to get in a legal argument whether we can regulate them, if we have two departments that are regulating them differently, it weakens our argument. And so I would like to ask the manager to bring us back something related to what those two departments are doing, and I guess general parking downtown, because you have taxi zones that are outside of the airport and Docks and Harbor's purview as well. So that's my only comments tonight.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, in fact, all the entities of the city that manage parking and that would be affected by TNCs have been meeting. So we've had Docks and Harbor's airport, JPD, manager's office staff all together looking at the legislation. We've brought in our state lobbyist to talk about the process that they went through and what he thinks was intended with the legislation. We have a teleconference scheduled, I think, tomorrow or the next day with the Uber regional manager. And so we're trying to figure that out on the fly. And I'd hope to have an update at the COW on, I believe, the 28th. It's one of those fast topics that we didn't anticipate, and there's a lot of discussion going on. The airport, recognizing timeline of the issues, decided to launch their regulations, which I think isn't a bad thing. I also think it's likely they'll have to be amended. But I think we're all trying to move very fast, not knowing when or if the governor is going to sign legislation, which would be effective immediately. So we are definitely trying, and we have all pieces of the city talking to each other, and law department certainly will be involved. And the airport, I think, was very concerned about the coming of those companies, and they launched those regulations.
Mr. Jones?
Just as a follow-up, I used Uber for the first time in Chicago. It was surprisingly easy. But because I have the app, I started getting updates. You know, Uber's saying they're coming back to Alaska like the 20th of June. If we're going to wait till the COW on the 28th, I don't know what the governor's going to do. That just may be too late if we're going to have meaningful input or something. So keep an eye on that. I would like to be kept informed because I missed the meetings with the airport. I've been trying to follow through their minutes and things like that. And, you know, I'm just not sure they're going in a direction that's going to be supportable by law. So it's an issue that I don't want to get tangled up in if we don't have to. But at the same time, if we have a company providing transportation services and we're regulating taxis and other things, and nobody wants to open up that commercial vehicle code again and talk about that can of worms, we may have to. So I appreciate timely updates, please. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
I guess the follow-up is following on Mr. Keel's comments about the Municipal League. If we desire, we could write to the governor and outright oppose the legislation. I've been working on the premise that we have no time and we have to figure out how to strategize to make it work best we can. But that would be a bigger step that if the body wanted to do that tonight, this would be your opportunity.
This was exactly what I was going to say. So you basically said everything essentially I was going to and also ask, I mean, can we even charge $3 at the airport? for them to come? I mean, that was my first question, and then I thought about all the other add-ons and the harbor and all the things everyone's just said. So, you know, can we? do we know the answer to that?
I don't think so. So I think what's happened is the airport has been in communication with other airports who obviously don't live under the Alaska legislation, and right. So some of their ideas might not apply here. We all wish we had more time to work on this deliberatively, but we don't.
And the Assembly has already said we wanted local control, so that we've already said that. So, and the legislation didn't include that, so seems to me we already had that opinion. Ms. Mead is squirming.
Mr. Jones,
her chair.
And then Ms. Mead.
I would just point out, taking a cab from downtown Chicago to the airport, other than it was a 50-minute ride and 20 miles an hour, when we got on the airport property, taxi reached over and hit two buttons, and it added $5 per passenger, five for me and five for my wife, to our fare, just entering the grounds at the airport. So I agree. Outside, that's a common practice. Whether we can do it here and how, I don't know. But.
So as you consider whether or not a letter to the governor is warranted, what I would like you to know is this. Under the legislation, the municipalities can enact traffic ordinances. Keep in mind that any ordinance that you enact has to have a rational basis and cannot be arbitrary, and so it can't single out unless there's a rational basis for doing so. So you can continue to enact traffic ordinances, and you can impose sales tax. The complicated issue for Juneau is there is a caveat in the legislation that allows for the State Department of Transportation to enter into leases, agreements, and other sorts of contracts with the transportation network companies that provide for use of the international airports. We are the only airport in Alaska that is a municipal-owned and run international airport. There was an amendment that was suggested at the legislative level to include Juneau in that carve-out, which is a carve-out that exists in most other states. So in most other states, the airports have the authority to enter into these agreements and to provide regulations for the use of the airport property. And that amendment was struck down, and the thinking was we didn't need it because we can enact traffic ordinances. So that is what, as of this week, when I found out about the regulations, law has been looking at. So what the extent of our the legislation is not clear at best, and so if there's a desire to point that out, that would be my recommendation, is to point out that Juneau's ability to regulate the use of its airport in the same way that the rest of the airports in the state are going to be operated would be good. Yes.
Ms. White and then Mr. Keel.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I was not going to step in front of an ongoing freight train, but I'm really having a difficult time with this. We're talking 3 weeks or so until our next meeting where we could do something, and this thing could go in front of the governor any day. I'm not opposed to network transportation companies, but the fact that municipalities were labeled special interest groups by certain legislators and the transportation networks companies' complete disdain for any local control, I really think if, at the very least, a letter outlining our concerns, perhaps not saying outright that we don't want it, but outlining our concerns to the governor that, you know, we're going to have to make some modifications at our airport to accommodate these people. We may have to make accommodations in our downtown corridor, which how many towns of 33,000 people get more cruise ship visitors than Seattle? I really think that the way this came down, I think we need to say something. And mostly it really comes down to the fact that municipalities were labeled special interest groups, and these big companies have no interest in local control. I see it like somebody being able to open up a real estate office and compete with me without a license. If they're going to follow the same rules, great. If they're not, then I'm opposed to it.
So, Ms. White, are you moving that the Assembly direct the attorney and manager to write a letter to the governor outlining the borough's concerns regarding Uber and Lyft or other such organization mentioned in this particular piece of legislation?
That is my intention, and I had earlier said it was something I was not interested in doing. I likened it to stepping in front of a fast moving freight train. I have friends who are going to probably send me lots of messages saying they disagree with me, but in this case, they're asking for the rules not to apply to them, and being labeled as a special interest group and lack of local control has just pushed me over the edge.
Okay. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support Ms. White's request, Ms. White's motion. In fact, the governor hasn't gotten the bill yet, so this is timely. The bill is so tightly written that if you wanted to accommodate these companies with special, you know, there are airports where you have a special area to get your network, your share car, Uber, your Lyft, whatever. We can't do it. It's literally, the way I read the bill, it's illegal for us to have a Lyft pickup spot at the airport. So if you like them, this bill is so tight, we can't help. It's it's a little frustrating. So, very supportive, and I appreciate the motion.
Ms. Blatt, yes.
And if that's true, I mean, I haven't read the bill as it passed, so, I mean, I have taken Lyft and Uber from airports, and there, every airport I've ever taken one from, there's a special spot you go to, and you know, the taxis go to a certain place, and the transportation network companies go to some other place, and if we can't even do that, then we should write that letter. And also down, and also, I mean, and can we do that downtown? I mean, we do have Class A zones and Class B zones, and if we can't do that downtown either, which that's even further afield, that will be hard for us because that downtown is space is at a premium, and there's already space wars.
Further discussion.
Yes. And Dawson Harbor.
Yeah, that's what I mean, downtown, yes. All the but Class A, Class B, Class B zones.
A different area than the parking spots, the parking areas.
Further discussion. Seeing none, is there any objection to the direction from Ms. White? Did the attorney and the manager understand what is being asked?
Okay.
Where did we leave off now?
left off with me, and then it was Linda Maria.
Oh, that's right. My next was I was going to say the same thing, so I'm done.
Right, I remember. It's ditto, right?
Ditto, yeah.
All right. This one.
Sure. Mr. Gregory asked about direction for the Affordable Housing Commission. At a recent real estate class, one of the things that was brought to our attention by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation was our aging housing stock. And that is basically that about 70% of the homes in Juneau were built before 1985. So I think trying to preserve that housing stock should be a major priority. I did the math once, and from 1970 to 1985, it was like 40 to 45% of the homes in Juneau. So we have a period of time that houses were not maybe built to last 100 years, and they're 40 years old. So I would say that would be a good place to concentrate your efforts.
Mr. Gregory?
As a follow-up to Ms. White's comments, the Affordable Housing Commission has been looking at the trends of our community and what people are doing. And one trend that they are seeing is that folks are no longer investing in older homes, that they are tending to buy newer homes or to build new homes from the ground up rather than rehabbing an older home. So I'll be sure to share that with them.
Okay, Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm glad to see that our community is helping out with the U.S. Coast Guard Bailey T. Parkle, and several businesses I know of have sponsored them. My question is, there's, I believe, only five of them are going to come, and they're going to decommission the 110s, and I was told that we do not have a slip for a 150-foot Sentinel cutter that the Bailey T. Barco is, and what are we going to do so we don't lose that Coast Guard ship?
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, so we are very aware of that issue, and my understanding is Senator Murkowski asked the Coast Guard for an update on their plan for locating the fast response cutters, which the Barco Bailey is the first of. And I believe she asked for that report within 90 days and submitted it in early May. How detailed that report is going to be, I don't know. Our staff has had some conversation with Coast Guard staff who were looking information about how the community could potentially handle additional employees who needed houses. Our message back was that we would really like to work on that problem and help that out. I think good news for us on the transfer of the Auk Bay Marine Station and the future of Statter Harbor, if we're lucky and fortunate enough to receive one or more cutters, I think our harbor plans would follow. The production of the FRCs is estimated to go over several years, so I think it would be more like the numbers I've heard, 4 to 6 years before they might come. We do understand that the Coast Guard is interested in pairing the ships in the ports because there's such a shoreside support needed. The new ships are very technology intensive, and they take quite a lot of human power on the shore side to keep the ships running, and so for that reason they're supposedly interested in putting them in pairs to economize on the shoreside support. So we're looking for opportunity to influence the Coast Guard. So I think our good hosting of USS O'Kane, our hosting of the commissioning of the Barco Bailey is another opportunity. We're looking for ways to convey to the Coast Guard that we are a good host community and well-suited to meet their needs.
Thank you. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a question for the city attorney, and it's in regards to land that is held in restricted status that's here in our community. And I was curious about, as to whether or not we face similar issues with those properties that are held in restricted status. Typically, they're residential homes down in the Indian Village and other parts of our community.
We have limitations on what we can enforce, but it's nowhere near the same issues that we would that we face when land is taken into trust. We can enforce all health safety regulations that we have. We are prohibited from taking the property, but that is pretty much the only limitation.
Thank you. And additional comments include, I am proud to live in a community where we support Juneau Pride, with Juneau being Juneau Pride Month, and also supporting our local tribal organization with their land into trust applications.
Thank you. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anyone signed up? Okay, if you'd like to address, you have 2 minutes. And if you'd please give us your name and address.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. I'm totally against any ordinance that keeps a mine from coming in. I want to, the city should be streamlining everything they can to get that mine in there, okay? Because that's Juneau, all right? Now, after you get that, this is really key, is get a smelter. Now, a smelter, yeah, you'll be able to get the mine that just came in, plus the other two that's local. It's in this local area in southeast Alaska, and you'll be smelting their ore. Now, the reason why you want the smelter is you want the alloy, and we already got the plastic from our from the waste for for reclamation for recycling. Okay, you get the plastic from the recycling plus this the alloy from the smelter. Then you have the ingredients to have your processing. Okay, for making processors, and after you get your processors, you can make computers. But that's a long-term plan. But if you, the key is to get that smelter. That smelter would be, the city's problems would be when it comes to finances would be pretty much eliminated if you get that. And it can be done environmentally okay. I mean, the way they do mining nowadays is so much environmentally friendly, I think it would be a definite boom for the city. So it's very smart. Don't stop the mine forever, whatever you do. You don't want to do that, okay? You want that smelter.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
Mr. Dan Kervis, executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we recess into executive session to discuss the matters of the immediate knowledge of which could clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the city, and that particular subject being CLIA litigation.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll take a brief at ease to